You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
What are you doing?
Do you know who I am?
A psychotic cab driver?
I'm Rocco Melanchek.
I hope you know you're blowing any possible tip.
You were my attorney in my divorce case. Until you started dating my wife during the trial. And you got the court to double the alimony request she originally made.
Well, you didn't want her to keep seeing me in cheap motels, did you? For God's sake, man, she was your wife.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me? You hear me fine? I see levels. We're good to go.
Hey guys, how's it going? It's me. It's Chris.
It's Chris Crespo. Of course, you know it's me. You're downloading the show. You know what's up. This is a bonus episode. It's the Hurricast 2016. We've survived Hurricane Matthew. That ain't no joke. That ain't no joke. Hundreds dead in the Caribbean. Almost 1,000 dead in the Caribbean. 800 in Haiti alone. Eesh, Haiti. Oh, boy. Oh. So far, at least 5 dead in Volusia County. Oh, boy. Not fun, Hurricane Matthew. Not fun. But I'm here. We have power at the Crespo Dizzo studio. But late in the day. Let me tell you what my plan was, guys. First off, this was what I was going to do. I was hoping. First off, I've been drinking. By this point, for like 9 hours straight now, and not drinking hard, but still, been drinking. So, I think I sound good in the moment, but you may be listening to this tomorrow or whenever, and be like, "Oh no, this guy needs to go to bed." And I may need to go to bed, but I'm telling you right now, I'm doing this, and then when I'm done, probably gonna be playing some Mike Tyson's Punch Out. It's like 2 or 3 in the morning. What do you think about that? That's how that goes. I haven't played that game in years, and now Bald Bull. Man, I got that fucking Bald Bull. I gotta pass them tonight. I know I am. I'm gonna do it. So my plan was, this was my plan. The storm, I knew the storm was coming around 5-6 in the morning, right? Cat 3, I think, by the time it passed by Central Florida. The plan was I was going to wake up in the morning, and if we had power, I was going to start recording little mini bonus episodes throughout the day. As long as I had power, I was going to give the people some entertainment, something to listen to while they were stuck in their homes and stuck hunkered down. I was going to do that for you. And I woke up at 6 a.m. and there was no power. So then I went back to bed, and I woke up at 9 and there was still no power. You know when the power came back on? Way later in the day. Way later in the day. So instead of a day's worth of cool little mini bonus episodes, you're gonna get one leg of recap wrap up bonus episode here at the end of the day. So hopefully, I'm hoping you guys have power, because I was without power most of the day. Oof, I could not make it in any sort of apocalyptic type scenario. Do not look to me to help you survive. I will be needing the help. Trust me on that. Oh, man, I couldn't hang. what we're here now. So, what did you do? What did you do for your Hurricane Matthew day off? You know what I did? I think I sat around on and off for like at least 4 hours, say, of just pure sitting. I sat on the porch drinking beers for like 2 or 3 hours, just looking at the wind blowing through the leaves. That's literally the only entertainment I had. And that was more porch drinking than I've ever done. I'll tell you that much. Like a real American. That's how we do it in America. All our Cinema Crespi, so international listeners. We set our fat asses on the porch and we drink beers. I guess, I don't know, that's just... Is that what you think of us? Probably should. Shout outs to the Red Mug Diner in downtown Orlando. They were open around 6-ish. Drew Sikagra and I went down there to get some hot food, some booze, because they got booze, and some boozy coffees, and some... we brought our phone chargers. We plugged right into the wall there and charged our phones. This is before we had power back, power restored. Power didn't come back till late year, man. I'm telling you, it's late. It's late. Shout out to Red Mug Diner. They were understaffed. Decent amount of people there. They did their best. They were very accommodating. And it was a good experience, I gotta say. Considering the circumstances. Hurricane Matthew, etc., etc. Guys, you listen to a lot of CCR, you listen to a lot of Creedence, you should. If you don't, you should, and if you do, you should listen to more. I could always listen to more. So if you're listening to this recently, within a couple days of the storm, check out. It's probably didn't air, so maybe on Monday or Tuesday, I recorded an episode of A Corporate Time with Tom and Dan. That'll be on 104.1, probably Monday or Tuesday night. It was fun. We had a good time. So if you're local, check that out live. And if not, it's also available via podcasts. I've been on their radio show a few times now, and it's always fun. I always have a lot of fun talking to those guys. I laugh a lot, so that's how you know it's a good. Yeah, I wasn't kidding about that Mike Tyson's punch out, guys. We got this emulator now in here. That's got every single Nintendo game ever. Like 700 of them, something like that. All the Super Nintendo games are on there. And a few select Genesis and Nintendo 64 games. But I'm OG, so I've just been rocking those NES games for the last few days now. I'm telling you. Excitebike, Mike Tyson's punch out. Mario Brothers 3. Oof. Hours and hours. Well, not that many hours. Decent amount of time last night. I wasn't doing anything else last night. It was a goddamn hurricane was coming. So I played a bunch of Double Dragon. That was dope. Hey guys, I didn't forget you. I was just going through my Spotify playlist and shit, yo. You should see my face right now. So ridiculous. You don't get it. You don't see it. It's on a visual podcast. So you're just hearing the words coming out of my mouth. But if you could see me, you'd be like, this guy needs to go to bed. Fuck you, bro. I got a date with Super Mario Brothers 2. I haven't cracked that one open yet. I'm telling you, like 700 games on that bitch. And then I played some of those older games that I played a lot when I was a kid, because, you know, I was younger. I only had a few dozen games. Only a few dozen. Those games were expensive as fuck. I had a decent amount of games. But those are the ones I played over and over. Now that I have 700 of them, I'm playing some of those older games, and I get bored very fast. Very, very fast. I play it at a mission. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is fun. I remember this game. And then after 5 minutes, I'm like, what's next? The original Batman game, very bored very quickly. Also very frustrated. Also, that original Teenage Mutant... See? I'm drinking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The original one. Hard as fuck, bro. Hard as fuck. I ain't got time to be perfecting that shit. That is truly for kids. I did play Rampage one time, straight through. Beat the game. Took me almost 2 hours, but with like a 20-minute break in there at one point. Remember Rampage? Took forever, and it's something like 126 levels. Son of a bitch, but I did it. Don't say I never finished nothing. See, you guys sensing the theme with the music?
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shore of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark, made of 10 hours of game. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to bring this up probably in this weekend's episode. But I do want to talk about it now. Because it's been something I've been thinking about for a minute. And now reading about it online like this makes me like, oh man, you know, maybe I was... Maybe I'm not going crazy. I think I'm still going crazy. Guys, you're going to think I'm crazy. Or maybe you're going to be with me on this. Who knows? Where is it? Where is it? Weird fucking story. Hold on a second. Okay, I found the article. Okay, here we go. Let's see. This is from The Independent. You guys know what that is, right? It's a thing. Guys. Title of the article. Tech billionaires convinced we live in the Matrix are secretly funding scientists to help break us out of it. This is not... an Onion article. A real article. And when they say tech billionaires, they don't mean just no one. They're talking about that Elon Musk, man. You know Elon Musk? You know that dude? And then when he starts breaking down his reasoning for why he thinks we live in the Matrix, you're like, this strangely is making some sense to us. Here we go. I'm looking for the best part of the article. I'm skipping paragraphs. Here we go. Some tech billionaires speculate that the chances we are not living in such a simulation like the Matrix is billions to one. Billions to one chance that we are not living in the Matrix or a Matrix, that this is all fake. Even Bank of America analysts wrote last month that the chances we are living in a Matrix-style fictional world is as high as 50%.
What the fuck?
Many people in Silicon Valley have become obsessed with the simulation hypothesis, the argument that what we experience as reality is in fact fabricated in a computer. This is from the New Yorker's Tad Friend. Two tech billionaires have gone so far as to secretly engage scientists to work on breaking us out of the simulation. Whoa. That wasn't the headline, was it? Okay, here's the Elon Musk reasoning for why we live in a 13th floor matrix style simulacron fake world, a world on a wire. Google that shit, simulacron, yo. Elon Musk said it was pointed out that computing technology has advanced so quickly that at some point in the future it will become indistinguishable from real life, and if it does, there's no reason to think that it hasn't done already, and that's what we are currently living through. What? Mr. Musk said, if we weren't actually living through a simulation, then all human life is probably about to come to an end, and so we should hope that we are living in one. Otherwise, if civilization stops advancing, then that may be due to some calamitous event that stops civilization. He said this at the Recode conference. He said this in front of people. Another tech billionaire. This is how he describes the singularity, extension of consciousness, and all that with the possible simulacron theory. The best scenario for dealing with this is to quote merge when our brains and computers become one, perhaps by having our brains uploaded into the cloud. Quote, these phones already control us, he said. The merge has begun, and a merge is our best scenario. Any version without a merge will have conflict. We enslave the AI, or it enslaves us. That is some scary Harlan Ellison, I have no mouth and I must scream type shit. Google that. I have no mouth and I must scream. Google it. That's our future. So basically, this is all for nothing, guys. This is all for nothing. Isn't that weird? It feels like it, though. It feels so real. It feels so real. But it's not? Here's the idea. 30, 40 years ago, technology-wise, we had Pong. That was it. Now we have, 30, 40 years later, we have Call of Duty and Halo and Destiny and Gears of War and all these games that look amazing, and virtual reality is on the way. If we just continue with that projection of technological growth, which is exponential, we are very close to virtual reality and augmented reality situations that will be indistinguishable from real life. So Elon Musk's point is that the chances of there being all these programs out there, and we're in a program, we're pretty much like a version of The Sims. We're basically The Sims, guys. But it's more like the 13th floor. You guys ever see that movie, The 13th Floor? Someone builds an artificial world, an artificial reality, and it's 1920s America, and they can jack into it Matrix style. This is before The Matrix, I think. They can jack into it Matrix style and hang out in there with their avatar, and then they go back into the real world. Vincent D'Onofrio's in this movie. And then they find out, spoiler alert, they find out that their quote reality is itself fake within a computer, and that they built a world within a world. What do you think of that shit? Nope. Oh, this one. Guys, what are we going to do? We'll probably talk about this more with Trusa Cogburn and our guest this weekend. Whether or not we live in an augmented reality so amazing that it's indistinguishable from base reality. And that this is not base reality. And you know what? With the 13th Floor movie, when they found out that their reality wasn't base reality and there was another level up and they got up into that world, they decided they had to shut everything down below them. And all those worlds got shut down. You want to be in one of those shut down worlds? That's why we can't get to the edge of the universe. Because we get to the edge of the universe and it's just the programming's run out. There's a lot. There's Google. Fall down that information wormhole. Meanwhile, I spent a day without power. Because someone wrote that into a program. What? Because someone doesn't know how to run their Sims, their SimCity? I gotta be without power? Tell you what, all that makes just as much sense as God and angels in heaven and hell. Makes more sense, actually. Much more sense. Alright, I'm done, guys. Make sure you feed the motherfuckers to the sharks. Free Mumia Abu Jamal. Read more books. Bring up the big banks. We'll be back with a normal episode soon because we got power. We got the power. Hope you have power. Peace. Bye.